We have a very serious subject today, and that subject is on the way to the cross. Now notice what I said, it's on the way to the cross. And I'm talking about your cross and my cross. I'm not talking about the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is central theme to the Christian faith. Without the cross, there is no Christian faith. Without Christ coming, dying for our sins, we have no salvation. It's also the central teaching of Paul's teachings encompassing God's love, the purpose of Christ's incarnation, his suffering, his death, the salvation of mankind, the forgiveness of sins, peace with God, eternal life, our inclusion in the family of God, the blessings of Abraham that are now ours through Christ. We become a covenant people, if you will. That's really cool. All of that through Christ's suffering and death on the cross. So the redemption of mankind was accomplished by Christ's suffering and death on that cross on Calvary's Hill. At one time, you and I, we were owned by the Prince of Darkness. We were under his influence. We walked the way everybody else in this world did. And the cost of buying us back or out from that under that kingdom of darkness was once again the blood of Jesus Christ. But when he paid that price for your sins, something else happened. He redeemed you. What a wonderful word, redeemed. What does it mean exactly? To redeem is to purchase back. Well, what did he purchase you back for? For himself. He purchased you back so you would know him, you would love him, you would come to serve him, and carry out the work of his kingdom until he returns and establishes his final kingdom here on earth. But we are essential to that. We're the people that walk with him. But in order to walk with him, we have to walk his way. In other words, the way he's called us to walk, not walk according to our own flesh. In other words, our desires. So what I started to say about the cross of Christ hardly serves as a subject on that topic. I looked at some of the things. There's literally volumes and volumes of theological thoughts and concepts that involve just the cross of Christ alone. It's a major thing. But what we need to remember is that Christ hung on that cross in our stead. He took the pain that was due us. He took the humiliation of that cross. We'll talk about that later or next week. He was spat upon, he was spoken of evil, and so many things happened to him. And all of that suffering he did for you, so that you and I wouldn't have to go through it. But in the end, he delivered us from the power of sin, and we now have the freedom to live a righteous life or a life of righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says that he himself bore our sins on his body or in his body on the cross, in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his stripes we were healed. John has something to say about this too, about Christ on the cross. Actually, here's what Jesus had to say. We see him hanging on the cross. This is his last moment on earth, literally. And what he says is, he's knowing that all the things had been accomplished, John 19 and verse 28, knowing that all things had been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, because he had to fulfill the scripture, the law, he said, "I am thirsty." And a jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. It is finished. The Greek word there is tetelestai. It means that the debt is completely paid. It's paid in full. There's nothing that you and I can add to save ourselves, but there's a lot that we can do to please God and see the kingdom of God grow and see our rewards, first future rewards in heaven fulfilled. But in order to do that, we have to recognize that we're not just saved for ourselves. In other words, we didn't just get a ticket to heaven. We became a person, a son of God, a child of God. We now belong to the family of God. We're here to be with Him, to serve Him, and to love one another, know one another, love one another, and share the good news of the gospel with others. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself." He put away all of this stuff from Himself. "He took on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of man, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which was above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, I want you to know this. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to save it through His death on the cross. In His conversation with Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, He makes this clear. And He says that He's going to be lifted up on the cross. He says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in Him would have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I want you to think about this. Christ humbling Himself, first of all, being in the form of God. Do you understand that? In other words, He and the Father are one substance, spirit, one personality. They are totally equal. But because He loves you, He gives that up. He puts that aside, and He comes down and He takes on the form of a man. And He's found in that body, in the body of Jesus, the Son of God, born of Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know this, though. Without that cross, without Christ doing that, there's no redemption. We're lost in our sins. All mankind is without hope, or would be without hope, destined to eternal death. They would all die in their sins. And we have to remember, some of the people out there that hate us, that hate Christ, that hate us, very much are nothing more than dead men, dead women walking. They don't even know the difference. So we still have to love them. We have to reach out to them when possible. And if they're not going to turn, well, God will take care of that. Our whole effort is to be to serve God and be the people He's called them to be. But in order to do that, we have to change. We have to have the same attitude that was in Jesus. This life isn't all about us. It's like that song, "Lord, it's all about You. It's all about You." We have to remember that. So Colossians tells us this. Remember this: when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, in other words, your flesh was in charge of you. I want you to think about that. When you were dead in your transgressions, when you were a sinner, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, in other words, that flesh had control over you because it was motivated by the prince of darkness, the god of this world. At that time, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven all your transgressions, all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of death consisting of decrees. The law stood there. The law condemned us. The commandments condemned us. And all of that was nailed to that cross. Every single thing of about us that said we were guilty, all of that was paid for. And it says here that it canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which were hostile to us. And He's taken them out of the way, having nailed them to the cross. And when He had disarmed the rulers and the authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. I wish I could just go into that, but if you could think about the darkness that covered the earth, what is that? All of these demons came. They thought they had Christ. They thought they had him. Now they had taken the Son. They were going to kill the Son of God. They thought they had won. And meanwhile, the angelic beings were there too. And what was our Heavenly Father doing? Coming to the end, and when Jesus said, "It is finished," he disarmed all of the powers and principalities in the heavenly places. Took away most of their power. They have the power of the lie today and deception today, and they can do a lot of damage with that, as you can see in our society today. But again, he triumphed over them through him, through Christ. However, if we choose to follow Jesus, we have to take up our own cross. And in the case of Luke 23, it's a daily cross. It's not something that we take up on one time and we go. It's the slow death that we have. We walk with God, and each day if things come up, we have to go on that cross. We'll talk about that next week. By the way, we carry this cross wherever we go. It is not the cross that belongs to, or you might say, this is my cross is my sickness. My cross is my wife. My cross is my child. No, my cross is my pastor, whatever it may be. Should never be your pastor. Sometimes people think that way. I don't know. But all I'm saying to you is this. That cross is your cross, and don't leave home without. It's not a Sunday, Lord's Day cross. It's not a Sabbath day cross. It's an every day, everywhere cross. Don't leave home without. In Luke 9:22, he said to them, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Remember those words. If you want to save your life, if you want to have the life that God has predestined, you need to lose it. It can't be controlled by the flesh. It's got to be controlled by the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set us free from the law of sin and death. We need to be led by that Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. But again, if you desire to save your life, you're losing it. You have to save your life by giving it up, dying. So for what profit is for a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed? For whoever is ashamed of me, in other words, look, it's our affiliation with Jesus. We need to be known as we belong to Jesus. He's not ashamed of us, but if we're ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. He says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's with his holy angels." So in other words, we have to decline. We have to refuse ourselves, put ourselves, or say no to our flesh, basically. And also he told us another thing. We went through this scripture initially. This is absolute discipleship. What did he say? If anyone does not hate his father, his mother, wife, children, and brothers, sisters, yes, and his own life, they can't be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So he goes on to say a lot more about a tower of starting this journey with him. And it's very important as we start this journey, and we should have started it with the new birth, really. I don't see any place in the Bible where those of us who are willing, those of us who are called of God, should not just follow him and do what he's called us to do. So again, we need to be not only a starter, but a finisher. And we need to know that Jesus will get us through. We can make peace with him because he made peace for us. And all he's talking here is this to bear. All we need to do is raise up that cross. We got to lift it up. That's what we need to do. So I have had some different experiences with individuals who have had a cross problem. And I'm hoping that I don't have anybody listening to me today that has a cross problem. These are people who always want to die to themselves, but always manage to live. And they cause more problems in the church than you can think of. Somebody wrote a book about them. It's called Unintentional Dragons. Well, let me tell you something. The damage they do is horrific. And it does not go unrewarded or unjudged. But I just want to say this to you. This is a problem we have. One experience I had was with a person that knew all about the cross. I will call her, I will say that I will call her the lady who is the way I have it out here, the lady dying to herself, the expert in dying to herself. And I had again this particular person, and every time I would see them every week, I was a young Christian. I was about 3-4 years in the Lord, and yet God had anointed me. I'm teaching. I'm out in New York, et cetera, et cetera. And she come to our meeting, and then at the meeting, I'm dying to myself. I'm dying to myself. And I'm saying to myself, why don't you just die, you know? I wish I could help her die. She was like that old crow up there. The same thing. Caw, caw, caw. Dying to herself. Complaining about the same thing every time. And finally, I got to tell you, she did the unconscionable. I'll never forget this. And I don't know why people are so afraid of the cross. They're squeamish over it. They don't like the idea. They love themselves too much to want to die. They want to control their life and the life of others. We need to be in control of the Holy Spirit. And that old crow knows that. And he'll keep crowing at you and trying to get you to not be nailed to that cross. Their attempts to crucify themselves never worked. She had a good trick. I don't know how she did it, but she managed to get up on that cross and get one hand tied with a slip knot. And before anything really could take place in her, she was off that cross and saying, oh, I wish I could die to myself. I need to die to myself. And I tell you the truth, it was for a guy, you have to understand, I had a pretty rough background at that time. In other words, let's put it this way. If it were 3-4 years earlier, I might have helped her, you know, die to herself. But again, one day she did the unthinkable. I'll never forget this. We had a prayer meeting, and at the end of the prayer meeting, we always had what we call a hot seat. And we would take a person that needed prayer, and they'd come, and we'd pray for them for the particular thing they needed, usually healing of some sort. One night, there was this woman who came. She's probably in her 30s at that time, and she came, and she was really downcast, very downcast. And she said to us, I need prayer for healing. I've been diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer, and it's going to be terminal. It's terminal, they say. So we sat her in the hot seat, and we began to pray for her. And actually, the Lord anointed me. The Spirit of God came on us. We saw so many miracles in those days. And the Spirit of God came on us, and I began to pray a prayer of faith. And as I'm praying for her, you could watch her. Strength was coming into her. Hope was coming into her. She went from being slouched over to sitting upright. And at the end, she had this smile on her face. She had received. And then sister dying to herself, just couldn't die to herself on this night. And she added to my prayer, if it be thy will. And she just went, just stole the healing. Later on, I spoke to her. If that person was a person that needed to be saved, would you have said, I receive you, Lord Jesus, and receive eternal life and forgiveness of my sins? Would you have added, if it be my will? Please, don't come and pray for anybody unless you can believe for healing. Just go sit down. Then I had another guy that came in. It was really interesting. He knew all about the cross. He sat years under the cross. He talked about the cross, how much he knew about the cross. He just never learned how to hang on that. He never learned how to. And I want to talk to you about that because, you see, in Luke 14, Jesus asks us to consider the cost. We need to finish, as I said before, what we start as a disciple. Not easy, but we need to start on that journey. And if the basic journey would be this, as I said in our last message, it would be this, that as a disciple, we should know to love God, love our neighbor, and make a disciple. That's how we do it, one person at a time. That's how the world gets saved, one person at a time. I know there's big evangelistic meetings, but the sticking of those people from those meetings is very low. 3%, 4% from Billy Graham meetings, for example. But you look around you, the people that are in this church with you today, most of them were led to the Lord by another person just here, or led to the Lord themselves for that, reading the scriptures. So I want to encourage you today that as we're going on there, let's take that journey together. Let's make sure that we are on the way to the cross, but with the determination that what we start, we'll finish. And next week, I want to talk to you about how to die. We need to learn how to die. And that's what we'll talk about, how to die. Dying is really something you must learn. That's why we're unpacking these things. May God bless you today. May you prosper in every way. In the name of Jesus. Amen.